You ready?
Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Up in Your Business with Carrie McCoy, a production of flagandbanner.com. Through storytelling and conversational interviews, this weekly biography show and podcast offers listeners an insider's view into the commonalities of successful people and the ups and downs of risk-taking. Connect with Carrie through her candid, funny, informative, and always encouraging weekly blog. And now it's time for Carrie McCoy to get all up in your business.
Thank you, Sun Gray. My guest today is a honeybee expert, Mr. Jeremy Bemis. With a last name like Bemis, it seems he was predestined for this type of work. His family business, Bemis Honeybee Farm, is the largest beekeeping supply store in Arkansas. They sell honeybees, everything needed to keep honeybees, and offer beekeeping classes online and in person. They also host the popular Arkansas Honey Bee Festival and Bee Day, which is coming up soon. We'll tell you all about it. It was over 30 years ago that Father Tracy Bemis purchased the southeast Little Rock land and founded Bemis Tree Farm. Jeremy still works and lives on his father's tree farm land, but in true entrepreneurial spirit, he and his wife Emily have expanded the operation by, in 2013, they founded Bemis Honeybee Farm, complete with a honeybee retail store. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the table honeybee aficionado, tree farmer, and stump grinder, and entrepreneur, Mr. Jeremy Bemis. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Y'all, he's 6 feet five. I know this is radio. You got to know he's 6 feet five.
He's leaning down to the microphone.
What a lovely lifestyle this sounds like. Tree farms, honeybees.
Well, besides the heat and the bee stings, it's not too bad.
How many bee stings have you had?
You stop counting after a little bit. Most of the time you get desensitized to it. So usually it's on your hands, wrists, behind the gloves. They always get you. I've only had one time where I got stung so many times, like I quit.
You had to be hospitalized?
No, but it kind of gets your heart running a little bit fast. So You just go sit down and
You can be hospitalized.
Yes, you can. You got to be careful. But most people are not allergic to honeybees. So most people think they've been stung by a wasp or a hornet or something, and they had a lot of reactions, but bees are a different type of poison.
So you know those little bees that are like in a bush that are a little small? They're not bumblebees. They're little bitty bees, and they're like up in your azaleas and stuff in the spring and summer. Are those honeybees?
Probably not, no.
And
no.
Like if your dog rustles them out and takes off running, they chase him down the street?
Yeah.
What are those?
Those are probably, there's thousands of...
Oh.
Of types of bees in Arkansas, even so, there's only one type of honeybee, but there's a lot of them burrow in the ground, make their nest in the ground, so it's probably something like that.
I know food crop farming is really hard. Is tree farming hard too? Because this all started because your daddy is a tree farmer because he fell in love with a woman from Arkansas. He's really from, let's see, he's a Michigan man.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us how. Let's go to the very beginning and tell us how it all started.
So my mom is from Grierce Ferry is where she's from. And there's the old soldiers reunion, like a fair type thing.
I thought it was in Heber Springs.
It is.
Didn't you say she's from?
She's from Grierce Ferry, but it's just across the lake. So she went over there for that, the old soldiers. It's like a fair type thing. They have rides and all sorts of stuff like that. So my dad actually worked for a company in Michigan that sold the Big John tree transplanters. So those are actually produced in Heber Springs, Arkansas, and they ship them all over the world.
Still?
Still, yes.
Big John tree transplanters.
Yeah. So we move big trees. We can go up to 30-foot tall trees. So we've got a big truck that goes over. It's got this big machine that folds off the back.
Up how tall?
30 feet is about as high as we go. So some people do bigger than that, but we found they don't.
And your dad sold not trees, but the equipment to...
He worked for the company that sold the equipment. So I think he was like 18 or 19. So this is back before all the licenses. And so you could drive a big truck and be a kid.
The good old days.
Yeah. So he would come down and pick up the machine from Big John and then drive it to whoever bought it. And then he'd teach them how to run the machine. So he met my mom while he was here waiting for the machine to be ready.
At the old soldiers reunion in Heber Springs.
So that's how they met, and they just kept in contact.
moves her to Michigan?
They actually did move to Michigan. She made it a couple of years, and the story I was told that my older brother was born in Michigan, and it was a really bad winter, and she dropped him, and he went sliding through the snow, and he was fine. Nothing happened to him. So,
but that was the last straw for her.
She picked him up, so I moved to Arkansas. You can come with me if you want or not. So I'm leaving. So
oh, my
she
God. I don't blame her.
So as soon as they moved here, he was like, well, all I've ever done is run these tree spade trucks. So he looked in the paper or phone book or whatever for tree spade trucks, and there was one in Arkansas, and he called him up, said, do you need somebody to work for you? And he said yes, and went
tree
over there.
Spade trucks?
That Big John tree transplanter. So
he didn't move to Arkansas and work for Big John. Why didn't he just work for Big John here in Arkansas?
Well, so they were building them, so that was a different type of work than what he was actually using the tree spade. So he was teaching people how to run them and how to dig trees and how to actually operate the tree spade. They just build them. Long story short, they had dealers back then. So you worked for that dealer. So that dealer was responsible for moving them.
So they've
done away with the dealers now. So they're doing it differently now. But that's
So he got a job on a tree farm. Is it happen to be the same tree farm he owns?
It
now?
Is. Yes. Yeah.
So the guy. Oh, cute.
The guy had just planted the farm, so it was not that old. So he had just bought the tree spade truck to move the trees, and my dad was really the only person that ever ran that truck. So it was actually an 85 model truck, and that was the first big truck I learned how to drive. So I actually ran the truck for a couple of years.
How old were you?
I was an 87 model. That's what my dad
said. How old were you? Oh, you were. So, how old were you?
I was 20, I think, when I started driving the truck. Too.
So you grew up on this farm that you're living
five.
On now?
Yeah, I was five when we bought it.
Did your mom home? Did you go to school, or did you homeschool back then?
No, we went to school. There's school just, I don't know, 10 minutes down the road.
Because your farm's actually in the city limits, isn't it?
We're outside the city limits, but we're in the planning district, whatever they call that. So we're actually in a Little Rock address, but we are outside the city limits. So
what does a tree farm do? Christmas trees? Haul trees? Sell them to nurseries?
We're about half wholesale, half retail. So it's mainly landscape trees. So oaks, maples, red buds, things like that. So we actually come out and plant them in your yard. So we're one of the few places that you can actually come and pick the tree that you want that's in the ground. We will dig it up and come put it in the ground at your house.
I mean, love that.
Service is a dying industry.
Well, what's different about the trees is like our oldest tree, our biggest tree we sell is about almost 30 feet tall, and it's probably 10 to 12 years old. So we planted it 12 years before that. So
that's a slow crop.
It is.
So so do you harvest every year though something?
Yeah, we always plant. I mean, we're like
planting,
I said,
and harvesting all the time.
Yes, yeah. We have not done a very good job since COVID. Just everything's been so crazy. So we are behind. But
I'm
planting trees in the field. So
why would COVID make you behind?
Everything just went crazy.
Couldn't get employees?
It was that. And
how many employees do you need an acre?
Oh, we've got right now total there's 7 or 8 of us. That's so, including the family.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Why did COVID slow you down?
Equipment was hard to get, and baskets and liners were hard to get, and the people started doing a lot more stuff at home themselves. So it just, everything just shifted around. So it was weird. So when COVID started, we had 3 businesses. We still do. So we have the bees, we have the trees, and then stumps. So the tree farm died like as soon as they announced COVID, the tree farm went dead. So we had very little work to do. The stump grinder went through the roof. So everybody, I guess, was cleaning up their yards. So we moved people from tree planting to grinding stumps. And then the bee store, our bee sales went down, but the volume of the sale went up. So the cost of sales went up. So basically, we couldn't have classes. So we have a lot of classes every year. So we teach people how to put the equipment together and how to paint it and what to do with it. And so they couldn't come out to classes. So instead of buying a broke down kit that they would take home and put together themselves, they wanted it all painted and assembled and completely ready to use.
Oh.
So we had less sales, but the sales were bigger. So we had to put a lot more stuff together for people. So
wow.
It was, we did fine. I mean, everything flowed fine. But then after the bee season stopped, then the tree farm got real busy. So
What an entrepreneur.
Did people get really into bees during COVID, like they did gardening and all that other stuff?
It didn't seem to. We've had a steady growth. I mean, okay. People have been interested in the bees all along, so there's been a growth.
But, cool.
And it wasn't as much COVID as it was. We had that huge flood, so that and then followed by the winter, the horrible winter we had. So the if you remember, there's that little swath that went through Arkansas that got down to like, I don't remember what it was, 2 degrees or 0 degrees.
Oh, this last December?
Well, it was 2 years ago, oh, okay. 2 winters ago.
Oh, it happened 2 years in a row? I kind of forgot that.
So, it was the one that had the huge snow. So
that was the blizzard.
Yeah. That was a February.
February 21. Mm-hmm.
So we were in the little swath. So we actually had over 2 feet of snow at the farm, and it was just freezing. So it killed a bunch of stuff.
I bet.
We had a lot of young plants that died.
I bet.
They just didn't. It just stayed too cold too long. So that, the flood, and then followed with that killed as many trees as anything. So that, trying to regroup from that, and then with COVID.
How'd you keep the bees alive?
They do a pretty good job of maintaining themselves. We did lose some because of the cold, but if you have a strong hive, they'll maintain.
Strong hive. That's not something you say every day. Best tree farm in Arkansas. The only thing better than the quality is the unmatched service. I love that statement on your website because I think that we're going to see everybody move back to service-oriented and pay for it, just like you exactly said. You put these kits together because they wanted the service, and you charged more, and people were willing to pay it. I think you are exactly right. You know, the cheap price is really nice until you have to assemble that IKEA stuff. then you're like, why did I buy this IKEA stuff? Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have just bought the fully assembled piece of furniture.
Right, yeah.
We've had a few people buy, so I can put it all together, no problem.
Oh, sure,
they'll
yeah.
come back a few days later and it's like, yeah. I need to change this. Oh. So it's not hard to put together, but it does take time.
Yeah, all right. This is a great place to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Mr. Jeremy Bemis, founder, along with his wife, Emily, of Bemis Honeybee Farm in Little Rock, Arkansas. Still to come, the life of a bee farmer. Are you interested in being a bee hobbyist? Are murder hornets a threat to Arkansas bee population? Why are bees important? And yes, there is an Arkansas Honeybee Festival and Bee Day. We'll find out more when we come back.
You're listening to Up in Your Business with Carrie McCoy, a production of flagandbanner.com. Over 40 years ago, with only $400, Carrie founded Arkansas Flag and Banner. During the last four decades, the business has grown and changed, along with Carrie's experience and leadership knowledge. In 1995, she embraced the internet and rebranded her company as simply flagandbanner.com. In 2004, she became an early blogger. Since then, she has founded the nonprofit Friends of Dreamland Ballroom, began publishing her magazine, Brave, and in 2016 branched out into this very radio show, YouTube channel, and podcast. In 2020, Carrie McCoy Enterprises acquired OurCornerMarket.com, telling American-made stories, selling American-made flags, theflagandbanner.com.
Every spring at Bemis Honeybee Farm, they hold what they call Bee Day. And this year, it's coming up on Saturday, April 20th. Bee Day at Bemis Honeybee Farm from 9 to 4 that day, Saturday, April 20th. Admission's free. There's beekeeping classes, plus food trucks show up. Bee order pickups happen all day. There's all kinds of speakers about this fascinating topic. Don't forget Bee Day, Saturday, April 20th. The exact address for Bemis Honeybee Farms in Little Rock, Arkansas is 13516 Asher Avenue. You can also visit their website and learn all you want. BemisHoneybeeFarm.com.
Back to you, Carrie.
You're listening to Up in Your Business with me, Carrie McCoy, and I'm speaking today with Mr. Jeremy Bemis, second-generation tree farmer and founder of Bemis Honeybee Farm. How did the idea for a bee farm come about?
So when we bought that property behind us, we've always wanted to do Christmas trees. So it's like, well, we'll do choose and cut Christmas trees. So we trying to figure out how to lay it out. We actually started remodeling the hangar for the store for the Christmas trees. So it's like, well, if you're going to do Christmas trees, we need to round off the season and we'll do pumpkins. So we'll have a pumpkin patch. Oh. So just the whole agritourism thing, that was really getting big then. Mm-hmm. So we were going for that. And so we planted some pumpkins, and there's something in the ground that made little bumps on the pumpkins. It's a fungus or something. I don't remember what it was called. So we're trying to figure out with that. So can you guess what the number one reason why pumpkins don't grow?
They don't have bees.
They don't have bees. They need pollinators.
So you need, gosh.
So pumpkins and a lot of those types of crops, gourd crops, they produce very little nectar and pollen. And so bees do everything on a grading scale. So they want the best and most prolific nectar and pollen sources that they can find. So to get pumpkins to get be pollinated, you have to just basically flood the area with bees. So honeybees are the only insect that we can really manage like that, much less getting a food from, so honey. So I looked around trying to figure out, well, who could I get to bring out bees? So apparently that's a thing. You can actually hire people to bring out bees. So I looked around, couldn't find anybody. So looked at all of it, and I'm just going to buy some bees and do it myself. So tried finding equipment, and there wasn't anybody real close to us. And so I ended up ordering stuff online like most people do, and tried to get some education. So I found a class, so I took that and got some bees. And somebody said, well, you should just sell the equipment yourself. You can just sell it in the store. I'm like, well, okay, sure. So made a few calls, got some bees ordered, and it's like, if we're going to sell equipment, we're going to have to teach people to keep bees, because that was a hard, there's a learning curve that you have to get past, and that was a hard thing we were having ourselves to figure out how to keep them alive. And it's like, well, we'll do some classes. And so I found somebody that helped teach some classes. And
were they in Arkansas?
They're in Arkansas.
Well,
so
there you go.
He actually, it's Richard Underhill. He still comes out and teaches classes with us. So one thing led to another. Never could get the dang pumpkins to grow. Had a hard time with the Christmas trees. The ground I was trying to put them in was too wet. So we were having trouble with the fungus with all the water. And
Farming is hard.
It is. So, and it was new ground, so we never had trees planted on it. So we were working on drainage and all that. And so the whole time we're just steadily having more classes and more bees and more equipment. And so we finally got ready to actually sell some pumpkins. We did it one year and decided, like, we don't know what to do with our bee customers while we're trying to deal with the pumpkins and the Christmas trees. So we just scrapped it and went with the bees.
So what are you doing with that land now?
We are, I'm actually wanting to plant pecan trees on it. So for a different direction altogether.
But, for your children?
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be my retirement project.
Because, yeah, that takes a long time to grow a pecan tree.
It takes about 30 years to get them in production.
Wow.
So we've started planting a few, but we're still trying to clean up some of the land. And we've started doing
flooding better though, right? Pecans?
Do it.
Don't they deal with flooding better?
Yeah, but we don't really flood a whole lot. It's just our ground's heavy, so it just holds the water.
Okay.
So it's actually just getting out there to work them and all that kind
will
of
they,
stuff.
Will it do okay with that?
I hope so.
Because, you know, pecan trees are all over New Orleans and the Delta area, so you're probably right, Gray. Now, you ought to know that.
Well, they like a sandier ground than what we have.
Oh.
So, but we do have some planted, and they do fine.
That's why they like the Delta. It's sandier.
Yes. So. Good silt.
Talk about the bee population. Are they endangered?
They are making a comeback. So there's a pest called a varroa mite, which is killing our bees way more than chemicals and all that kind of stuff that always gets the news attention. So that came back in the 80s, early 90s is when that parasite came in. So our bee population went from 6.1 million down to like 1.6 million, I think, is what it went down to. So we are on the rise. I think we're 2 million something hives in the country now. So we are coming back up a lot because of backyard beekeepers, people keeping bees in their backyard. But our losses, I think we're at nationally 42%, I think is what
God,
the last was.
That
losses
seems that seems
every
large.
Year. It is. So you're constantly building and replacing and trying to keep your bee population growing.
Honey ought to
this
be
this is
like,
all just honeybees, right?
Correct. Yeah, just honeybees.
It seems like honey ought to be like $25 a bottle at that loss rate.
It has gone up with everything else. Everything seems to be going up.
What about murder hornets?
I don't, knock on wood, I'm hoping we don't have to worry about murder hornets.
Do we have them in Arkansas?
No, I think they've only been seen in Washington, D.C., I think is where
it
was.
The the ones that were in the news last year are the one, they've owned Washington State.
State, okay.
Because
Washington
I think
State.
They came from Asia, and so they were accidentally imported or something like that to the West Coast.
Yeah, but, so they were keeping a pretty close eye on it. Mm-hmm. So there was only a couple. I think they found them and eradicated them. So hopefully they're not coming
hornets.
Around.
But those are different than the hornets that you see and the wasps that get into honeybee hives typically, right?
Correct, yeah. So most of those are carnivorous, so they're actually going in to eat the bees themselves.
Right, yeah.
So the murder hornets, they're just a lot bigger. And they actually, where they came from, the bees have found a way to kill them. But it's pretty nasty. So, because I think like 6 or 7 of those hornets can take down 40,000 or 50,000 bees, and that's
they rip their heads off.
Yeah, they chew them to death, and the bees can't attack them enough to kill them. So what they actually do is they'll actually swarm the hornet. Side note. So when bees are in the hive in the winter, they just get in this cluster. They just get in a ball. And they basically run in place. So instead of flying, they unclip their wings. Their wings will unclip, and they can sit by their side. And they fly their wings, except they're not going anywhere. That's how they produce heat to keep the hive warm. So that's why they make honey, is to have food for energy to do this, to survive through the winter. So anyway, so when the murder hornet comes in, what they found is the bees basically just ball the murder hornet and then start doing this and basically cook it alive. They kill all the bees that are in this ball, but it kills the hornets
before.
Also.
It's so metal. It's so cool.
Metal.
It's so cool. Because you think they're going to sting it or something, like bees do. But yeah, they cook it alive in a little bee oven that they make out of their own bodies. It's so crazy.
Yeah, so it's pretty nasty. But
Gray, you sure do know a lot about bees.
Well, I was telling him before we started, my husband took an apiculture class in college. And then, you know, I'm a gardener, so like you kind of, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Why are bees important to gardeners and stuff?
Well, so the crop structure that we have, so we have miles and miles of crops. So bees are the only insect that we can move around like that for pollination purposes. It's like the almond run. You've probably heard of the almond run in California. So I think each almond flower has to be pollinated by 7 different bees to produce 1 almond, I think is what it is.
Whoa.
How do we even get almond milk with those kind of statistics? Your statistics are blowing me away.
I've heard it also takes like a gallon of water per almond or something like that. Yeah. Well, that's not your part. Yeah. Sorry.
So,
different crops.
Yeah. So the majority of the bees we have in the country almost all go to California for the almond run. To pollinate all the almonds. So
don't they like put them on flatbed trucks and like drive them out and then drive them out when they're done?
Drive them out, drive them in,
drive them
out.
Into the field, they pollinate and then they close them up and drive them away.
Yeah. Where do they go?
Other farms.
Back to wherever they came from usually. So,
do you ever send any of your bees out?
No. We don't have near enough hives to do all that.
So bees have a lot of income opportunities. You can sell the honey. You can transport them around.
So
you can use them to pollinate other crops.
Mm-hmm. There's wax, beeswax, and products from the wax. So chapsticks and lipsticks and all sorts of things they do for cosmetics.
And you just do the honey and the pollination for your farm?
Mainly what we do is the equipment.
Oh, you do
so
the
we
equipment.
Actually sell the supplies and then we sell the bees.
But retailer.
I tell people in our classes that when you get bees, you need to plan on doing one thing. So you either do honey or you're going to sell bees or you're going to do cosmetics. Well, you need the wax. So one bee will produce a 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in her lifetime.
God, that's nothing.
And then it takes 10 pounds of honey to produce 1 pound of wax. So if you're wanting to go for wax for that type of stuff, then you pretty much use a lot of your hive's resources to produce the wax to steal it. So you don't have much left for honey. So now, of course, if you get hundreds or thousands of hives, you can have some doing one thing and some doing the other. And you can
how many acres
things.
Would hundreds of thousands of hives take?
Not as much as you would think.
Really?
So so back to our crop structure that we have. So the honeybee will travel up to 3 miles away from their hive to pollinate. Which most insects that we have, pollinating insects, we have a lot of native bees that pollinate, and they actually do a much better job of pollinating than the honeybee does. But they're typically nest in the ground, and they don't go much more than 100 yards away from the hive.
And they're specialized, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, the honeybee is really not the best pollinator for the plants that we have, but it's very versatile. Mm-hmm. So you can put them on a crop and they will go miles. So 3 miles away from the hive is 96 square miles, I think. So that's a lot of ground. So you can put a whole bunch of hives in one spot and they can go out.
How do you pollinate yours? With what kinds of, do you use clover or do you even care about that? It's like you're on your own. Go find something.
Yeah, you want them to go find their own stuff. I mean, more they can work and more flowers they can get and bring back, the more balanced diet they'll have. And honey will taste like the nectar they're bringing in. So
why does it always say clover honey?
So bees are monogamous, I think is the right word. So they will go.
One person, one mate?
Well, monoculturist, not monogamous, sorry. Yeah. They will go out and pollinate one type of plant and bring in that nectar and pollen before they will move on to another one.
Oh.
So I mentioned earlier that grading scale, they do everything on a grading scale. So if they really like this one type of plant, or if that's all that's available, they will work it until they feel like it's done. So you can collect the honey from the hive after they've done all that, and it will be that predominant product.
But you don't know where they've been because they go 96 square miles.
But if, like almonds, for example, they are taking thousands of hives and putting them in thousands and thousands of acres of almonds. So there's really nothing left for them to work other than the almonds.
Oh.
So these guys that move them around, they can put them on a orange field and it'll probably have some stuff mixed in with it, but it'll be predominantly whatever that
orange flavored honey.
So it'll be an orange. They can sell that as an orange blossom honey. So.
So when you sell a clover honey, you've pretty much got a clover field.
Mostly,
real
yes.
By.
Yeah.
And yours is just...
Ours would be called wildflower. So wildflower is, I don't want to say generic term, but it's basically a generic term. So
very broad.
Mm-hmm. So if it's not one predominant source, then you call it wildflower honey.
Talk about the queen and their role.
Well, she's the queen.
What else do you know?
Yeah. So there is one queen per hive, so a stack of boxes.
I mean,
when they
procreate, do they just have boys, or do they have, if they have a girl, they kill it, or what is it?
It's all girls. So
everybody's a girl,
pretty much. So
well, then, how do you get more babies?
We're going to get complicated quick here.
Go for it.
So
I'm here for it.
So there are three bees in the hive, three types of bees. So you have the queen, then you have the workers, and then the drones. So the drones are the boys, so then the workers are all female. So 90 to 95% of the hive is going to be female workers. So a queen lays a fertilized egg, and it will become a worker bee. So any worker egg can become a queen with proper care from the other worker bees in the hive. So if the daughters get mad, they can just go get rid of the queen.
How do they do that?
They ball her and kill her, chew her up, sting her, whatever.
Just like us.
So what's this? Maybe this isn't bees. I've read that. So there's the whole like royal jelly thing. They take care of the one female and turn her into a queen.
Correct.
So the workers decide that she can be the new queen. There's not like a battle royale between the old and the new or anything like that.
Well, so that's kind of two parts. So when they lay an egg, the difference from a worker to a queen is the number of days it eats the royal jelly.
Okay.
So they just keep feeding it the royal jelly, right, and that will become a queen.
Gotcha.
They will typically, if they are trying to oust the queen, they will have multiple queens that they will make. 10 or 15.
Really?
They'll make multiple ones. And they actually make this bark noise or chirp noise, if you can hear it. So during the season, so spring and summer, we'll actually have bees in the store, queens in the store for sale. And you'll actually hear them every now and then barking back and forth at each other, making this chirp noise. So you can actually hear it. So it's pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
So when the first virgin queen hatches out, she basically makes this chirp noise and say, is anybody else here? I'm here. So they'll say, oh yeah, I'm in here, but I'm not done yet. So she's like, oh, where are you? So she'll go over like, oh, I see. And then she'll stab them and kill them. She'll sting them and kill them. So she'll go around and kill all the other ones that have not come out yet. And then she'll go out on her mating flights to go mate with the drones that are out there. So she will go over 2 miles away from her hive so that she does not mate with any of her brothers that were in that hive.
Smart. So she has good offsprings.
Yes.
And she gets a bunch of workers.
Well, then she will lay the workers. So she'll come back and lay. So she'll go out on one series of mating flights, and then she will stay in the hive the rest of her life. There are a couple instances where she leaves, like a swarm. If you'll see a big ball of bees.
I was going to say, so what's the difference between that what's that and then the,
between,
the swarm.
What's that? Swarm?
The, well, so this like mating flight versus swarm.
Yeah, so the mating flight is she's going to come back to that hive. So her sisters will take care of her and get her ready to start laying eggs.
And then, so she comes back and usurps the old queen, basically.
So usually if that situation, the queen is already gone.
Right.
So the old queen's already gone. So
usurp. Yeah, right.
So so when the swarm, the old queen will leave to make room for the new queen to come in.
She just go off and die?
Well, their goal would be to go find a new home.
Oh.
Because she leaves with a bunch of workers. That's why it's a swarm.
Oh, it's a swarm. That's why they're swarming away.
Mm-hmm. She'll take roughly 60% of the bees with her.
Oh.
So, oh, wow. That's a lot.
And they really just do one, two, one, two.
Gosh, it seems like we could learn a lot just watching a beehive.
You can. They're interesting.
Health benefits. Are there any downsides to eating honey? Is there anybody that should not eat honey besides babies? 1-year-olds should
not. Correct, yeah. Well, if you're diabetic, so you have to watch the sugar.
Oh, is it considered like a sugar too?
I don't know a lot about diabetes, but it is a sugar. So if you have the lower diabetes, you can eat honey instead of sugar and replace it. If you got the more advanced, it's sugar. You're not supposed to get it. But your body does digest the honey differently than processed sugars.
Okay.
So it is a better sweetener if you can do it.
Do you sell your honey to the big box stores or you just sell
it out
of your
place? No,
we only
sell it out of our place.
Is that the only place you sell your honey? Have you ever tried to sell it to a big box store?
We usually, with our events and classes, and I was telling Gray that we were on a tour stop, so we had tour groups that would come in and we'd do little talks on bees. We usually sell all of it through those channels. We didn't have enough to really go out and look for further need to sell it.
You have 50 hives?
We're around 50 hives, yeah. We've been, since we've had bees, well, I guess since our second or third year of having bees, we've been between 40 and 75, somewhere in there.
How many years have you had bees? Oh, since 2013. Mm-hmm. So you've had it for 10 years.
Yep.
Huh? So. That's nice. All right, this is a great place to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Mr. Jeremy Bemis, founder, along with his wife, Emily, of Bemis Honeybee Farm in Little Rock, Arkansas. Still to come, are you interested in becoming a honeybee hobbyist? We'll ask Jeremy how to get started and best practices. And you may want to go to the Arkansas Honeybee Festival or Bee Day coming up soon. We'll find out more about those dates when we come back.
Every spring at Bemis Honeybee Farm, they hold what they call Bee Day. And this year, it's coming up on Saturday, April 20th. Bee Day at Bemis Honeybee Farm from 9 to 4 that day, Saturday, April 20th. Admission's free. There's beekeeping classes, plus food trucks show up. Bee order pickups happen all day. There's all kinds of speakers about this fascinating topic. Don't forget Bee Day, Saturday, April 20th. The exact address for Bemis Honeybee Farms in Little Rock, Arkansas is 13516 Asher Avenue. You can also visit their website and learn all you want. BemisHoneybeeFarm.com.
You're listening to Up in Your Business with me, Carrie McCoy, and I'm speaking today with Mr. Jeremy Bemis, second-generation tree farmer and founder of the Bemis Honeybee Farm. What's the name of your stump grinding business?
Stump Busters.
Stump Busters. That's a good name.
That
I should be able
name.
To remember that. So I want to become a honeybee hobbyist. How do I get started?
You just come out to the store.
You're open. You can just come out anytime. You're always open, or they're set hours.
Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30, and Saturday, 9 to noon.
Really? Mm-hmm. Every day? 6 days a week? Mm-hmm. Anytime? Mm-hmm. A lot of time you go out to these farm places that say they have stores, and they're really not open. And you'll drive all the way out there, and they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't open today.
Yeah, well, we try to be open. So, yeah, if you want to get bees, I always recommend you take a class, whether it's from us or from somebody else or online. Take a class, get an idea of what in the world you're getting into before you dive off and spend the money.
You do have online classes. For $12, you can get 10 classes online. Or you can do $5 a month, I saw. I don't know.
We're working on that. So we have our beginner course online. We have a version of it on there. I think it's $10. We are working on a kind of a membership course type thing. We're not too far into it yet, but we've been videoing.
$10 is too cheap, I'll just tell you right now.
Well, we started it with COVID, so it's mainly me just rambling on
so
for hours. So,
so I guess it really
you get
is
what you pay for.
Well, and if you do the and if you do $10, then you get to sell them all the stuff.
Yes, hopefully. So yeah. Hopefully they come out.
Yeah.
We've been with our membership thing. We've been recording our events for the last, I guess, 2 years now. So we're trying to get all those up there. So you'll get a lot of information once we kind of get it moving. So that's the goal anyway.
So online classes, what kind of equipment are you going to need it? If I was going to start a bee, start making honey in my backyard, would I need a bee suit?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you definitely want to have something at least covering your face. So you'll need your woodenware. So you'll need a stack of boxes per hive.
Woodenware.
That's what the bees live in. So that's your boxes and your frames and foundation, all that kind of stuff. But basically their home, their house that they're living in. Mm-hmm. We usually recommend you get two hives. It's easier to manage too. So the more hives you have, the easier it is to manage.
Why?
They do different things. So, I mean, they're women, so you've got to
multitask.
You gotta watch. So one hive will do something completely different than the hive sitting right next to it. So
it's like a woman running a house.
Yeah. So if a queen dies, then you have to get a new queen back in there. The hive won't live without the queen. So having multiple hives, you can steal resources or move bees around. You can do different things. So having more hives gives you more
opportunity. So if a queen dies before you got one in the making, what happens?
They will try to make their own.
Real quick?
They will try to make a new one. It's not real quick. It takes 16 days from egg to hatch on a queen, and then it takes about another week for her to go mate and then come back and be able to lay eggs. But they've only got one shot at it. So once that queen is gone, they have to take those eggs and make a new queen out of that. So if they don't do it, or if there's a problem, then they have no way of making a new queen.
So I didn't really understand this when you and Greg got deep into your queen hierarchy earlier, but you were saying that there'll be like six queens in waiting, though? During spring and summer, they'll start making extra queens?
They only make them if they need a new queen. So if they feel like the queen they have is not sufficient or getting weak, they will make a new one and then get rid of her. Or if they're getting ready to swarm, meaning there's too many bees in that box and they are just going to naturally fix that problem on their own. So 60% of those bees will leave. During either of those processes, they will start making a new queen. So and then they will do as many as 10 or 15.
So some seasons they don't maybe make one because they love their queen and she's healthy and young.
So the goal as a beekeeper, we don't want them doing that. We want to have a good queen. We want them laying eggs and keep moving, lay as many new bees as we can.
Love it.
So if we think we need a new queen, then we try to go in and either kill her and give them a new one or start a process of them raising new queens. So we try to control that if we can.
And how do you start it? You throw a jelly roll in there?
No.
What do you call it?
The royal jelly.
Get
a jelly roll.
We can actually graft them. It's called grafting. We can go in and pull these little eggs
like
out.
Like a tree.
Kind of, yeah. So, a little different process. But.
Wait, what do you mean pull legs out? What?
Pull the eggs.
Oh, eggs out.
I thought he said legs, too. I was like, legs? You pull their legs off? That's helpful.
You can make a hive queenless, meaning you just take a bunch of bees out with no queen, and then you just give them a whole bunch of eggs, and you put them in these little cups, call them queen cups, and they'll just start raising all of them into new queens if you've done it correctly, which that is a talent in itself to be able to do that. So
this is fascinating.
No, there's so much to it.
And it's too much for me to do. I would never have this as a hobby. This sounds like the most tedious hobby in the world.
You can spend a lot of time on it, or you can put them out there and go check them every couple of weeks and just make sure they're doing something and be done with that. So,
how long does it take to get your first honey harvest?
Usually we recommend the first year, don't plan on pulling any honey. So usually it's your second season, so the end of the second season that you have bees.
And is it the same for wax, if you want to do commercial wax or cosmetic wax?
Yeah. So usually
about a year.
Your goal for the first year is to build the comb. It's called drawn comb. That's where they actually lay the wax, draw the combs out where it's usable frames for them to just go right in and lay eggs or put honey in. And that's your goal for the first year, is to get as much of that built as you can.
So they have a good place to lay their eggs. Biggest mistake people often make?
They think it's going to be something they can just throw out there and not have to go look at and do anything with.
Until they get honey.
Just think these flow hives, that's caused a lot of problems. So
What's a flow hive?
Are those real? Did they work?
I think they work. I've never
seen
them.
Well, what is it? We're all dying to know. What's a flow hive?
There's a tap at the bottom.
It's So
for honey.
So it flows
just
out?
Just turn on the tap and it drips honey out into your jar, yeah, like a faucet.
That's my kind of hobby.
It sounds like too good to be true.
It is. They're made in Australia, and Australia is the last continent in the world that does not have royal mites, which is our biggest problem we have with bees. So beekeeping there is different than it is here.
What are they called?
Varroa mites.
Varroa.
Mite.
So you have to. So if you got, if you own them, you need to go out there every day or so and look in and
not
see.
Not every
what,
day. Once every 2 to 3 weeks is
2 to 3 weeks. Oh, yeah, that's not
so
very
once
much.
Once every 2 weeks.
And
is
what do
good,
you do when you go out there and look in there? See if the queen's alive.
Basically, you're looking for two things. One, you want to make sure the queen's alive, and then they either have enough space or not too much space. So there's a fine line there that you need to follow.
That you teach us.
Yes. If they're getting too crowded, you need to add another box. And if there's too few bees in the boxes you have, you need to pull a box off. Is the simple version of it.
I don't want to buy bees, but I want your honey. I can just go out there Monday through Friday and Saturdays before noon, and I can buy your honey. Do you always have honey available, or do you sell out?
We are out at the moment.
Call before.
Yeah. Well, we have honey, so we actually sell some of our customers' honey. So we do have local honey from our area. It may not be from our particular bees. So we do almost always have honey.
So you have another business, stump grinding. Stump busters. Very needed business. There's lots of things. Like the bee business, the tree business has many offshoots. Firewood, mulch, stump grinding, removal.
So we don't do tree cutting. So we come in behind the tree cutters and we'll grind the stump and get it all looking nice.
I'm glad because I think that's kind of murder.
Well, you got to cut trees down. They could be dead or fallen.
Some of them, they just cut down because they want to put in a concrete pad.
Well, that's possible, too.
That makes me upset.
Concrete's nice, though.
It's one of the worst things for the environment.
Well,
have you read that?
Yes.
What is it, Gray, that it does? Concrete?
Well, there's a high, it does a lot of things. It absorbs heat. You know, the process of making it is really energy intensive.
That's what, and it's got.
Concrete and steel, I think, are the two worst things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you read Shel Silverstein's book, The Giving Tree?
Yes, actually, I think I have.
Yeah, probably when you're a kid, like the rest of us.
You should read
it
to your babies when they get older, because you're like, we are living on the Giving Tree farm. Mm-hmm. It should be there.
Hopefully you take better care of your trees than they do in the
they
Giving Tree.
They do. They're tree farmers. They take good care of their trees. You're listening to Up in Your Business with me, Carrie McCoy. I'm speaking today with Mr. Jeremy Bemis, second-generation tree farmer, stump buster, and founder of Bemis Honey Bee Farm. When you go to parties, do you walk in and go, and they go, hey, stump buster? Because if you were my friend, I would do that every time you walked in the door.
That's a good nickname.
You have to do the song. I can't sing or I'd sing.
What's the song?
Like Ghostbusters? Yes.
Stump buster.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yes. Yeah. All right, let's recap. Your family has the Bemis Tree Farm and Shrub. Mm-hmm. We did not talk about that on your website. And it boasts... Best tree farm in Arkansas. The only thing better than the quality is the unmatched service. I am a proponent for service. Arkansas Flag and Banner is all about service. I think people are going to get tired of cheap prices and cheap service.
Yep.
You know? I know Walmart's changed everything, and I know it's good. I mean, I know, and there's a place for it. But
you got to, especially with beekeeping equipment, you got to watch what you get online. So
we've
had customers, their bees wouldn't stay in the hive. They kept flying off, and I finally got talking to them, and I think I even ended up going out there at one point. And it's like, where'd you buy this stuff? So I bought it online at the big place online, and said, well, you need to throw it away and get something different.
Oh, really?
So he finally listened to me. He threw it away and got some of the stuff that we sell, and his bees stayed the next time.
Do you charge for service calls?
Yes. Yeah.
You should. Yeah.
So we don't do too many of them. So it's hard to go out and do all that.
Yeah, and do everything you do. You know, people want us in the flag business to go out and make service calls, and it is hard to run a business and go out and make service calls because they don't really want to pay what your time is worth. And my time in the company, working on the company, is expensive. But and they're like, well, will you come out anyway? And I'm like, you really? And when you tell them what your time's worth, they're like, oh.
I don't know. They don't want to pay it. But the problem with bees is there's so many different ways to manage them. So my management technique may be different than what you're doing. So what you're doing may not be wrong. So you ask my opinion. It's like, well, it's like chemicals. They're like the mite. We've talked about the mite a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's this bad pest. The easiest and most effective way to treat them is with a chemical. So if you're trying to do all organic, so a lot of times at the community mm-hmm. gardens, they don't want any chemicals out there.
Right.
It's very difficult to successfully treat for the mites without the chemicals. So I would tell you, well, you got to use the chemical to do this. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. So sometimes that gets into just management practices. So
mm-hmm.
that's hard.
You know, when it gets bad enough, people will say, okay, I've gone as far as I can go. You've got to come out and you've got to help me. And that's when service is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many places that there's nobody to even call. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're lucky that people can call you and you'll come out.
Yeah. Well, in Arkansas, we actually have this it's not the state plant board anymore. The agri.
You have the Department links on your Ag. Website. Yeah, you have the links on your website.
Okay, the Department of Ag, and you can actually call them, and they have inspectors that will come out and help you to go through an inspection. That's what they do it for free.
That's great. So, talk about B-Day that's coming up. What do you do on B-Day?
That's from 9 to 4. We'll have food trucks.
At your place?
Yes. So, so this is the pickup day for the bees that we sell. And it's also just the start of the season, so to speak. So spring is when you get started. So usually you don't need to do splits and make new hives in March because of the cold weather. So usually in April is when you're really getting going with the bees. So we'll have speakers coming in. So we'll have talks. We'll actually have two talks going on at once all day. So we'll go through how to install package bees or nukes. So if you're getting brand new bees that day, we'll actually take you out to the bee yard and put the bees in the box. So show you how to do it right in front of you.
If you're not getting bees?
You can just come out and look. You don't have to have. Yeah, it's free. Yeah, it's cool.
Gray, I think you need to put this on your calendar.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out and watch you place new bees.
Yeah. So we have the classroom. So we'll have talks going on in the classroom and talks in the bee yard.
Just want to pop in here and remind you that the date for this year's Bee Day at Bemis Honeybee Farms is Saturday, April 20th.
How many people come?
So Bee Day, we've held pretty steady around 750 people.
Shimonee, that's a lot.
So for the last 5 years, we've pretty well had that. Even through COVID, we were still holding close to those numbers. It's more of the diehard beekeepers that do come to Bee Day. Anybody can come. So we do have some people that are coming for new. But it's more of how to deal with the bees.
So bee nerds.
Yes.
It's a community.
And then in the fall, it's the first Saturday in October, is the Arkansas Honey Festival. So that is basically the unofficial end of the season. So we're going into the winter. Winter's coming up. You need to pull all your honey off the hive, start your mite treatments and all that kind of stuff. So we'll go through how to do that. We'll actually show you how to pull honey off the hive and how to extract it and how to treat for mites and what to look for. And then we have the honey contest. So any Arkansas beekeeper has to be Arkansas honey. You can enter a bottle of your honey in the honey competition. So anybody that comes through can go through and do a tasting. Oh. So anybody that comes can taste the honey. You get one vote. You pick what your favorite honey is. So we actually do a judged portion. So we'll have judges come in. They'll judge there on a criteria. And then we'll have the People's Choice Award. We'll have live bands. We usually have 2 or 3 bands out there.
Kids how many people come to that?
Pre-COVID, we actually had over 1,400 at the last one.
How successful you are.
Last year, which is our first honey festival since COVID, I think we only had about half that. I think we were around 700, 800.
What are the benefits of honey?
So if you have allergies, there's actually a minute amount of pollen that gets mixed in with the honey. So you can actually get small doses of the pollen to help your body build up immunity. The honey is better for your body than processed sugars, of course. So it's good for that.
It's a good sweetener.
It's a good sweetener. So
What's the most interesting tasting honey you've had from Arkansas? Because I've heard of and seen all kinds of crazy stuff from all over the world. Like you're talking about orange blossom honey and stuff.
Yeah. I like the little bit darker honey. So the lighter the honey it is, the sweeter it is, but the less quality, less good for you that it is. Is that the right way to say that? Less good?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So so the darker the honey, the more nutrients and more stuff that's in it.
But stronger.
So you actually get more for it. But it has more of a bitter taste, so it's not as sweet.
Stuff from the community garden tastes like dirt. In a good way. In a good way, but it's very dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like molasses.
It's real earthy.
Because you know molasses is not sweet.
It's like sugary, but not sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like more of the amber color, kind of the in between. So you get some good flavors.
Okay.
So.
Have you heard of the, I'm going on a tangent. It's like the honey made from the dew of aphids, aphid honey. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So there's like a species of aphid that drinks sap, and then they create this like sugar byproduct that honeybees will harvest off the back of the aphid and then make a special honey. And apparently it's like a clear honey.
Yeah, I think I have heard of it. I just didn't realize that's what it...
It's like a real... Yeah, it's an aphid... It's basically like aphid poop honey. But apparently it tastes very sweet and light and
delicate. It'll
be aphid
poop and then bee throw up. Did you know that honey is bee throw up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No.
Isn't that gross?
You just now got to that?
They get to the hive, the forage bees, they spit it out and they give it to another bee, and that bee sucks it in, puts it back in its gut. And so that whole process is actually how honey becomes honey. They get the bacteria from their gut.
How many times do they do that?
A bunch.
When do they quit doing it?
Nectar is real high in moisture content, and honey is very low in moisture content. So when it's below 18.5% moisture content, it will not go bad as long as it gets sealed up. So that's what they're doing, so they're drawing the moisture down.
They throw up into that honeycomb?
Actually, they'll throw up another bee's mouth first. Then
they'll spit it back and forth.
They do it back and forth.
And then when do they put it in the honeycomb?
As it starts getting down, lower content, they'll put it in the honeycomb. They can actually fan their wings over it and get the moisture down. They're trying to get the moisture off of it. If it's not enough, then they'll suck it back up and spit it back out and suck it back up and spit it back out. They just keep going.
These are weird.
So. This has been one of my favorite shows we've ever had. Because it's
lots of fun facts.
All right, go to your website. You've got so to the my listeners. If you type in Bemis, just type in BEMIS, and you will get Tree Farm, and you will also get the Honey Farm. So be sure when you go to their website and you want to read about these guys, to be sure and know that they have two separate websites: Bemis Tree Farm, Bemis Honeybee Farm. And then you can find out everything we're talking about today. I have so enjoyed today's interview with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Before we leave, though, I want to give Jeremy Bemis a U.S. and Arkansas flag. And you know, I should have given you a Michigan flag for your dad.
Oh, yeah. He would have been all over that.
I just want to say thank you for coming on. I really enjoyed it. And for our listeners, I just gave Jeremy a desk set with a U.S. and Arkansas flag. And I'm going to send him a Michigan flag for his dad also when I... later reach out to the guys. And I'm going to come out to your farm. And Gray, I bet you go out on April for B-Day. I bet we do. It's going to be fun.
You'll have fun.
Uh-huh. Thank you again.
Yep, no problem.
In closing, to our listeners, thank you for spending time with us. We hope you've heard or learned something that's been inspiring or enlightening, and that it, whatever it is, will help you up your independence, your business, or your life. I'm Carrie McCoy, and I'll see you next time on Up in Your Business. Until then, be brave and keep it up.
You've been listening to Up in Your Business with Carrie McCoy. For links to resources you heard discussed on today's show, go to flagandbanner.com, select radio show, and choose today's guest. If you'd like to sponsor this show or any show, email me, Gray, at gray@flagandbanner.com. All interviews are recorded and posted the following week. Stay informed of exciting upcoming guests by subscribing to our YouTube channel or podcast wherever you like to listen. Carrie's goal is simple: to help you live the American dream. We'll